The book of Luke, chapter 1, we're going to break in verse number 13, Luke 1, 13. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Many of the children of Israel, shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient, to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Tonight, I want to talk to you on a subject, preparation is necessary. Preparation is necessary. And shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, tune the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Here we have before us the announcement concerning the birth of John the Baptist. He was to be great in the sight of the Lord, filled with the Holy Ghost, and he was going to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And that's what we want to speak to you tonight on for a while. Are you prepared to meet the Lord? John the Baptist was sent as a forerunner before Christ. We want to define his role, his calling tonight. And first of all, let's start out in prophecy. John the Baptist is in prophecy. Turn with me to Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verse number 3. Isaiah 40 and 3. John the Baptist, amen, is defined in prophecy. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. All flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, Cry. And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is as a flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower faded, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Here we see John the Baptist defined in prophecy. Then we come to the New Testament, and we find him defined right in the gospel. Turn with me to Luke. Third chapter, verse 4, Luke 3, 4. As is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Amen. What is all this prophetic language in the prophecy and here in the gospel? What is this prophetic language and message in the gospel saying? It's saying that there's going to be a highway. Amen. Where all can get on, and that highway is straight. And everyone on that highway are all on one level. The mountains, the hills shall be made low. Valleys shall be exalted. Crooked shall be made straight. And the rough places plain. Amen. What is the prophet? What is the gospel writer saying? He's saying that the way is now opened up. Amen. A way of holiness. And all who pass on that way, amen, will come one way. They all come one way. And how is that? They're all going to line up with the word of God. Amen. The word of God. The prophet talks about a highway in the desert or in the dry places. Amen. And the way for all those who travel upon it shall be holy. Isaiah 35 and verse number 8 says, a highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. What's that tell you? The only way you get on that highway is to be holy. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring man, though fools, shall not err therein. All this was done. Why? In preparation for the Lord. Repentance, bringing forth fruit, was a requirement. Amen. Before the Spirit of God, amen, would ever take its abode in an individual's life. In everyday life, there's preparations, isn't there? Every season, every year, every month, every week, every day, there's some kind of readiness needed. Sometimes right down to the hour. Before I bring a message Sunday, I prepare for the week. I don't wait till the last day. My mind will start going, amen, as soon as I leave. It already has been, but as soon as I leave the service tonight, we'll be going on to Oregon. And from Oregon, when I'm traveling back here, my mind's going to be going that direction. Why? There has to be preparation. Amen. We're always in a season of great preparation. We're constantly a people preparing for something. There was graduation parties this year. Graduation services that some of you had to attend, weddings, rehearsals. We're always preparing. We prepare for vacations, retirement, building, buying, shopping, and on the list goes. But the scripture says that John the Baptist came to make a way also. He came to make a preparation for the Lord, amen, and to make, amen, paths straight. As applied to John, the scripture means that he was sent to remove all obstructions and to prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah. It was like a herald going before an army on the march to make preparation for its coming. We are a preparing people, church. All you got to do is hear a weather forecast. Tornado touched down in, say, Springfield. What happens? Headed this way? My. Preparation goes in, don't it? Quickly. We hear of cold weather, bad weather, possibility of a blizzard. The stores are bought out. Amen. They'll be sold out. We prepare for tornadoes. Amen. Get the radio turned wide open. Amen. We don't want to be caught unprepared. All these things that have been provided for us to prepare, amen, for coming events. Think of what it would be if you didn't have a radio to be notified of these things. There's different avenues that we have of preparation. John was sent, and he was sent to prepare. And God has also sent some help your way to help us prepare for the greatest event in our life going into eternity. A lot of these other things we can take care of and prepare ourselves. But for eternity, we need the Lord to help us prepare. You know, church, those of you that's not clear in your soul, you know, you don't have to be lost. You're lost because you chose to be lost. But you don't have to be lost. Why? God has sent you some help. And if you will heed to it, what will happen? God will put you on that highway. Amen. And that highway will take you safely into eternity. God has sent the message that we preached on this morning of repentance. And it's a repentance where you can make your soul, you can clean your soul all up. Amen. Make your soul whiter than snow. And to reach eternity, you must repent. You must repent. Amen. So God has made a way to repentance. And God has also sent you the message. Amen. What did he do? Amen. He sent you the message and he convicted you in your conscience. Troubled you with his Holy Spirit. Even made you feel uneasy when you commit sin. I don't think there's too many people, at least wise around the Church of God, that commit sin and don't feel just a little bit uneasy about it. Amen. He did all this so you could prepare for eternity. Amen. And facing the final judgment. Amos 4 and 12. Amen. God is speaking to Israel. Israel had refused to return to the Lord. Amen. He, in verse 11, Amos 4 and 11, he lets them know that it's like Sodom and Gomorrah. They knew all about that. And he said in verse 12, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare. Get ready to meet thy God, O Israel. Preparation. Even though it takes effort. Amen. Works. Amen. Amen. Works, whether it's temporal, whether it's spiritual. It takes effort to have preparation. Look at some more things the Lord has provided for us to help us to prepare. You know, to miss it out of this congregation, you're really gonna have to be numb to the many things that God sends to help you to prepare. Now, first of all, we must realize this. God doesn't like to take people, amen, by surprise. Amen. No, he doesn't. He could do that. God could just, like we say, sneak up on somebody, take them out that quick. Not even hear the gospel. But God doesn't take people by surprise. He could if he wanted to, but it's against his very nature to do that. Why? God wants us to have time to prepare. Amen. So you can be ready when that day, whatever day it is, whether it's the day of, amen, of Jesus returning, or the day, amen, that you return. God wants you to be ready. He wants you to be prepared. He wants you to be, amen, not taken by surprise. Listen to the plea of the Word of God. The prophet Ezekiel. Listen to how Ezekiel pleaded with the people. He said in Ezekiel 18, verse number 30, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel. Everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent. Turn yourselves from all your transgressions. So iniquity shall not be what? Your ruin. cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby you've transgressed. Make you a new heart, a new spirit. Now listen to this plea. Why? Why will you die, O house of Israel? Again, and then further on in Ezekiel 33, verse 11, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from all your evil ways. Again, why will you die, O house of Israel? What does God give us to help us prepare? He gives us pastors. You can turn them off. That's your privilege. You can slander their name. That's your privilege. Amen. You can go out here and spread discord about them. That's your privilege. But they're still given, amen, to you to help you prepare. You don't have to listen to the message. You can get on your cell phone and play games. You don't have to listen. There's social media out there and communication where you can text, you can do anything you want to. Amen, while the message is going forth. You can turn it off completely. You don't even have to believe what I say. But if you will believe the message, if you do line up with the message, amen, that message will help you prepare. Amen, yourself. Amen, and help you pray or help you prepare, amen, to go into eternity. Mark 16, verse 15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Are you prepared tonight? Amen. Like I said, you don't have to listen to the word I say. People have ways of tuning you out. You can think about what you're going to do after church. Think about what you're going to do next week, Lord willing. You can think about a lot of things. Like I said, the cell phone. Are you prepared? Have you heeded the warnings that are in God's word? You know, God's word is full of warnings. Isn't it though? Most of the New Testament, amen, is written to warn people that were already saved. Being a church member is not good enough. Being baptized in water is not good enough. Attending a congregation where the truth is preached is not good enough. Have you taken advantage, is the question, of all the helps that God has given you on your journey? Many things. Amen. God uses to help us along the way. And why does God do all this? God just doesn't do all this just to keep himself busy. Because he loves you. You have never felt any love in your life like the love of God. He loves you. And he loves to give mercy. He wants you to enjoy being with him. Amen, and being with God's people, not only here, throughout eternity. You know, God uses other people who are saved. Maybe you won't listen to the gospel. Maybe you won't listen to the pastor or the teacher. So God will send somebody around, maybe just to witness to you. Acts the 6th chapter, amen. And they'll being filled with the Holy Ghost, they'll speak thus to the Lord, and amen, they'll bring out a witness of their life, amen, and a witness to what all God has done for them. Acts the 6th chapter, beginning at verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. the word of God increased, and then the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Stephen, here we go, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, there are these peoples always around, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, now them of Sicilia, Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, we've heard him speak blaspheming words. There comes your lying, your slander. Amen. Against Moses, against God. And they stirred up the people. They stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him, brought him to the council. And they set up false witnesses which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. We've heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place, shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. The disciples here had felt that they shouldn't leave the preaching. They shouldn't leave the teaching, amen, of the gospel, amen, to do secular work. So they chose out 7 men among them. The scripture says they were honest, have an honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. They were to attend, amen, to the monetary transactions of the church, to make the proper distribution, amen, of the needs to the poor. And one of those men was named Stephen, amen, who entered into debate of the word of God with several of these factions, Libertines, Cyrenes. Accusations were brought against him. And amen, he wound up being taken before a council. Let's have a meeting. Let's drag him into a meeting. But before the council stood a man filled with the Holy Ghost. Excuse me. Now, the testimony they heard was something like they never heard in their life. This is the first Christian martyr. But look at his character. What about him? He was full of faith. He had power to work miracles. He did wonders and miracles. These influential men stood up against a real man of God. Amen. Before this persecution took place, most of them had been confined to just threats and imprisonment. But look how far this persecution had advanced since the birth of the church. Before, there was just threats. Amen. Threatening the apostles. Threatened those that lived for God. And they cast him in prison. But now their anger had burst forth with rage and madness. Amen. And it could only be satisfied with the spilling of blood. Verse 9 says, then there arose, or rather they stood up against him. All these different factions joined together. Amen. The synagogue, the Libertines, the Cyrenians, the Alexandrians, Sicilia, and Asia, disputing or questioning him about the Messiah. But with these groups ganging up on a man of God, the scripture says they weren't able to resist or answer his questions. They saw a man who to them looked like an angel of God. You talk about power. And you talk about a witness. That council had never seen or heard a witness like that in all their no doubt days. Now, he no doubt, amen, had wisdom in the scriptures. because of the Holy Spirit anointing him. They had to perjure men to stir up, amen, stir up the people. Three things the people saw that particular day. They saw his wisdom, they saw the anointing, and they saw his face as an angel. And instead of his testimony, leading them, amen, leading them to God, they resisted. And when they resisted, their heart was hardened immediately to the place that it could only be satisfied, amen, by taking out the threat by death. No matter how full of sin, envy, jealousy, strife, hatred, and angry you are, God is always going to send a witness, amen, to you, amen, and witness to you of the truth. Yes, they killed him because it wouldn't take the testimony of Stephen, amen. They wouldn't prepare their hearts, so they took him out. But even though they would not prepare their hearts, look at Acts 7 and 58. God always works good out of things. Somewhere, amen, in all this debate and all this threats and all this killing, God was working the work. And it's picked up right in verse number 58. Acts 7:58, and cast him out of the city, stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul, destroyer. A man who no doubt could never shake in his life what he saw and what he heard that day. What he saw and what he heard, he probably never got away with. The boldness. And he no doubt saw, amen, what the council saw, the face of an angel. He no doubt heard the wisdom. Heard, amen, and seen the anointing of the Word of God. There was one who could not shake what he saw. Amen. He saw Stephen as bold, without fear. And one, where did he look? He looked to heaven to get his strength. This individual prepared his heart. God was preparing his heart, and it worked out. Amen. And on the road to Damascus, the preparation took place. And what do we have? Next to Jesus Christ, one of the most talked about men in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. And wherever he went, he not only preached the Word of God, he would testify of the goodness and power of God in his life. Question. Church, you like questions, don't you? To those of you that's lost tonight, how many have witnessed to you and you still haven't prepared your hearts? The witness of Stephen, yes, he lost his life, was something that Saul never got away from. What else does God use to help us? Amen, to prepare our hearts. Have you ever had a close call? How about driving? You ever have a close call? Yeah, you have. You've pulled out in front of somebody you shouldn't have. Or somebody pulled out in front of you and, amen, you crossed the line. I crossed the line one time, and the person I met was a state trooper. Needless to say, I had to send some money in. Amen. Thank God that they're out there, though. Even though we hate to see that light come on, just think if we didn't have them. But close calls. Amen. Just just things, amen, in your life. I've thought about it. You ever think back in your life of some close call that you had? I can remember, I don't know if I ever told this or not, but it bears repeating. Every once in a while, I think about, and I just about jump in my sleep. When I was young, probably about 13 or 14, we'd go swimming. And the place where we swam was a dug lake. It was very, very deep. They had a dam there overlooking the town. And we would go swimming. And I might have told this, but there was a dock there. And underneath that dock was a bunch of boats, rowboats, motorboats, different things underneath. It was a big dock. While it was locked, the door was locked, you could never get in it. So the only way to get in there is to dive underneath that door and come up on the other side. Now, even though you got in there, you couldn't get the boat out. And so what we would do is dive down underneath the door and dig out underneath the door. Take our hand and dig out, come back up, get some air, go back down, and turn over and slide underneath that door real tight and come up on the other side. Now, the only way to get out of there is the same way you got in. And you know, I think about that. All you had to do was got caught. Nobody's never known it. And that's going to be the end right there. But close calls, and that thing, amen. Now, that didn't lead me to repentance, but it's a close call in my life that kind of shakes you up. Those things kind of shake you up. Somebody pulling out in front of you. Amen. Or you pulling out in front of somebody else. I've done that too. It works both ways. Close calls. And then there's things called sicknesses. I believe it was Brother Fred told the Sunday school class this morning that he was sick to the place where he thought he was going to leave this body. Amen. What did it do? I'm sure one thing it did. It surely made him, amen, really get close to God and that affliction. God allows these things to come in your life to prepare you. Now, we don't like to be sick. Amen. But when we are really sick, it's a reminder that we're not going to be here forever. Sometimes we can get so caught up in just everyday living, we think we're going to be around, amen, to Methuselah's day. But then we get sick. And it's a reminder. You're not going to be here forever. I know my wife always used to say to me, she'd say, Roger, how do you think we're going to leave this world? I said, I don't even have a clue. Could be an automobile accident, could be sickness, could be whatever. You know, I just as a couple, we just talked that way. But we both knew this. We're going to leave this world someday. And before we do, God is going to, amen, allow things to prepare our hearts. Like the car that almost hit you. The accident that you witnessed. Amen. These can help clear the way for you to receive Jesus Christ and prepare your heart for eternity. How about the tragic end of someone you knew for sure that their life didn't portray the life of a Christian? You know, I don't think there's anything sadder as a pastor preaching a funeral where the person didn't show any fruits of repentance. Now, we don't run the door. The person could have repented the last moment. I don't know. But as far as, amen, having real confidence, you don't have that real confidence, amen. And when you come to that pulpit and you got to look out on the faces of the people and they wonder and question in their own mind also. Funerals. How many like to go to a funeral in here? You like to go to weddings. You like to go to social events. But you sure don't like to go to a funeral, do you? I don't. It could be a relative that passed away. Whenever I walk into a funeral home, it has an effect on me. I don't know what it does to you. Maybe you can pass on through there and don't affect you, but it always affects me. Amen. Why? Because this is the end of all men. That's the end of their physical life. Listen to what the wise man said in just a few verses. Ecclesiastes 7:2. The wise man said this. It's better to go to the house of mourning. And right there, a lot of people would debate that. Because it sounds like it's out of context. Who would rather go to the house of mourning rather than go to the house of feasting or smorgasbord? Or maybe an anniversary party or whatever kind of graduation party. Who would rather go to the funeral home and skip a man going to a party? He says that's the end of all men, and the living will lay it to the heart. Sorrow is better than laughter. Well, I always thought I'd rather laugh and have a good time than be sad, but he says sorrow is better than laughter. For by the sadness of the countenance, here's where it's at, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. What's he telling us? The house of mourning, amen, deals with your soul. The house of feasting deals with the flesh. And God is saying to the wise man, it's much better, amen, to go to where you can get help in your soul than to go, amen, where you get help or you get, amen, you spend much time feasting, amen, entertaining the body. How about national disasters? Doesn't that make you think a little bit whenever there's a talk of war? I have. I've thought about it. What about if you lived in a place where you had lots of earthquakes, such as San Francisco, some of these foreign countries that have tsunamis, and live those places? And you knew that a tsunami was coming your way. It had already been announced. Somebody said, well, you mentioned all these things. Are you trying to scare us? No. No. But I'm trying to get you to realize that God uses these things to prepare your heart. God will help you. Amen. God always helps us through these things, sicknesses, fears. God helps us through these things. But you have to allow these things, amen, to work a work of preparation in your life. Listen to the scriptures. I'm going to read out of the book of Job. Job, the 11th chapter. And verse 11. We're going to prepare to close. For he knoweth vain men, he seeth wickedness also. Will he not then consider it? For vain man will be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's coat. If thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thy hands towards him, if iniquity be in thy hand, put it far away. Let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear. Because thou shalt forget thy misery and remember as waters that pass away. Thine age shall be clearer than the noonday. Thou shalt shine forth, thou shalt be as the morning. And thou shalt be secure because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. And thou shalt lie down and none shall make thee afraid. Yea, many shall make suit unto thee. But the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape, and their hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost. If God had his way, church, and wouldn't it be nice if he did in every heart? If God had his way, everyone would be prepared. And God desires that so much that he gave heaven's best, his only son, to help you to prepare your heart. I ask you tonight, church, like I say, you don't have to pay attention to a word I said. But I ask you this, and we're going to sing a verse. Are you prepared to meet the Lord? Because everything can go along fine. But let me tell you something. Things can change in a moment. It don't take dragging out of weeks and months and years. It can happen overnight or within an hour. Now you can be bold and say, I don't need to do this or that. Amen, things are going good. And they could be. But let me just say this as I close. Sometimes that good changes very, very suddenly. And you go, amen, from the house of feasting to the house of mourning. Let us stand.